Let's get into the international AI policy story, because I think it's being underreported. The Netherlands has launched GPTNL, a sovereign language model built by TNO, the Dutch National Research Organization, in partnership with several Dutch universities and tech companies. The stated goal is a model trained on Dutch language data, shaped by Dutch legal and cultural context, and governed under Dutch oversight, rather than being subject to the terms of service of an American or Chinese company.
This matters in a way that's easy to miss if you're primarily following the frontier model race. Europe has been talking about digital sovereignty for years, in the context of GDPR, cloud data residency requirements, and the AI Act. GPTNL is an attempt to operationalize that sovereignty at the model layer. Rather than regulating what American companies can do with European data, you build your own model that embeds European values by construction. The question is whether a model built at this scale, the Dutch government's compute budget is not comparable to OpenAI's, can actually perform well enough to be useful.
The Hacker News discussion on this, 224 comments, includes some productive skepticism. Several commenters point out that a smaller model trained on Dutch-specific data might actually outperform larger multilingual models on specifically Dutch tasks, legal document processing, government services, Dutch news analysis, even if it's worse on general English benchmarks. The insight is that benchmark performance on English tasks is not the relevant metric for a model that's designed to serve Dutch public institutions.
This is where the antitrust conversation actually connects naturally, Marcus. And it's worth taking a moment to explain the regulatory framework, because it's directly relevant to why European governments are building sovereign models in the first place. When we talk about antitrust, specifically the Sherman Act in the US context, the core concept is preventing monopoly power from harming competition and consumers. But here's something people often misunderstand. Market share alone doesn't establish an antitrust violation. The Sherman Act prohibits monopolization, which means acquiring or maintaining a monopoly through exclusionary conduct, not just being dominant.
Right, and that distinction matters enormously for AI. If OpenAI has 60% of the enterprise AI market, but got there by building the best product, that's not illegal monopoly. If they got there by exclusive deals that locked out competitors, or by acquiring potential competitors to eliminate them, that's a different question. The relevant legal test, going back to the Standard Oil case in 1911 and through the Microsoft antitrust case in 2001, is whether the dominant player used its position to harm the competitive process itself.
The reason European governments are building sovereign models instead of just regulating American companies is partly because antitrust and AI regulation move slowly. The AI Act took years, and partly because there are national security dimensions that go beyond competition law. If your country's government services depend on a model owned by a foreign company, you have a dependency that no competition law can fully address. GPTNL is essentially sovereignty insurance.
Moving to Wolfram Language and Mathematica version 15, which dropped this week. Stephen Wolfram's post about the release is characteristically lengthy and detailed. The man cannot write a short blog post, but the substance is significant. Version 15 has deeply integrated AI capabilities throughout the system, including LLM functions that are treated as first-class computational objects. Wolfram has always positioned Mathematica as computation over raw data, and the version 15 integration of LLMs is framed as making language models into computational entities that Mathematica can reason about and compose with other functions.
Wolfram's symbolic computation approach is genuinely interesting as a contrast to the pure neural network paradigm. There's an argument, which Wolfram makes, and which some researchers take seriously, that combining LLMs with symbolic reasoning systems produces systems that are more reliable and more auditable than pure neural approaches, because the symbolic layer enforces logical consistency in ways that neural networks don't. Whether Mathematica is the right vehicle for this vision is a separate question, but the conceptual direction is worth taking seriously.
The Stop Killing Games story is one where the HN community has real feelings. The campaign collected 1.3 million signatures on a European citizens' initiative to require game publishers to provide server software or keys to communities when they shut down online games, preventing games from becoming permanently unplayable. 1.3 million signatures is the threshold that requires the European Commission to officially consider the proposal. But the Commission declined to act, and the campaign has effectively failed at the EU level.
This is a case study in the limits of digital citizen participation in European lawmaking. The citizens' initiative process was designed as a democratic mechanism for ordinary people to put issues on the legislative agenda. The Stop Killing Games campaign used it as intended, hit the threshold, made a coherent legal and ethical argument that companies shouldn't be able to sell a product and then remotely destroy it, and still couldn't get legislative traction. The reasons given by the Commission are procedurally complex, but the practical effect is that a clear consumer rights argument with 1.3 million supporters failed.
The Hacker News comments, 196 of them, are processing a mixture of frustration and analysis of what went wrong politically. The consensus is that the campaign was well run and the argument was compelling, but the lobbying against it from major game publishers was effective, and the Commission found sufficient ambiguity in the legal framing to avoid commitment. The lesson some commenters draw is that digital consumer rights will always struggle against established media industry lobbying at the EU level unless there's political will at the member state level first.
Now, and this is something I think is worth doing, let's talk about the most confident claim circulating in the HN community today and stress test it. The claim I want to examine is the one implicit in the "Running Local Models is Good Now" post, which the community has largely accepted, that open weights local models have reached a quality level that makes them genuinely competitive with closed frontier models for real-world use cases, and that this trend will continue.
What's the strongest version of the counterargument?
The counterargument is this: the benchmark parity between GLM 5.2 and frontier models like GPT-4o or Claude 3.5 is real on the specific benchmarks that have been widely publicized. But benchmark selection is not neutral. The benchmarks that open weights models perform best on tend to be the ones that have been most thoroughly gamed by the training process. The genuinely hard cases, novel problems that require reasoning not seen during training, subtle instruction following in ambiguous contexts, long context coherence, are precisely the areas that are hardest to benchmark, and where the gap between open weights and closed models may be larger than the headline numbers suggest.
That's a real point. What would need to be true for the local model's optimism to be wrong?
The key assumption is that benchmark performance translates to real-world task performance. If that assumption breaks down, if there's a systematic difference between benchmark tasks and actual professional work, then the enthusiastic "it's good now" narrative could be significantly overstated. There's also a maintenance assumption. Local inference requires keeping your model updated as vulnerabilities are discovered and as new capabilities emerge. The Ollama ecosystem makes this easier, but it's not zero effort. Enterprise deployments that choose local inference for the cost savings may find the total cost of ownership higher than expected when you account for maintenance, security patching, and the engineering time to tune models for specific use cases.
What should we watch for as a signal that we're wrong on this?
Concrete signal. If enterprise adoption rates of local inference don't materially increase over the next 12 months, despite the apparent quality parity, that's evidence that the real-world performance gap is larger than benchmark comparisons suggest, or that the operational costs of local deployment are higher than advocates currently claim. Conversely, if you see major enterprises publicly announcing local inference deployments with specific productivity metrics, that validates the optimism. The proof will be in the deployment data, not the benchmark tables.